This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Internet users submit tens of millions of queries a day to search engines and don't pay a penny. The search industry takes those free searches and spins them into gold. They do it by harnessing a timeless desire of advertisers to a unique feature of the Internet. This week, NPR's Rick Carr has been reporting on how search engines evolved, how they work, how they do business. Today, how the Internet is changing advertising.
There's an old bromide in the advertising business that's attributed to John Wanamaker, the 19th century Philadelphia retailer. Half the money you spend on advertising is wasted. The problem is you don't know which half. That's because only a small segment of the audience that's reading a magazine, listening to the radio, or watching television is actually interested in buying a given product or service at a given moment.
And it's a big joke in the advertising world.
John Battelle is the former publisher of internet business magazine The Industry Standard. He's currently working on a book on the impact of search.
You do these spiffy ads, you have no idea if they work or not because you're buying a bunch of television. You try to buy the right demographics, you try to buy the right reach. But the fact is, you really just don't know. Maybe sales will go up in the next quarter, maybe they won't.
But on the internet, conventional wisdom holds that somewhere between 15% and a third of all queries to search engines are commercial. That is, the internet user who's looking for information may actually be shopping. Susan Wojcicki is Google's director of product management.
If you're typing in the word digital camera, you probably want to buy a digital camera. You're probably researching it. So serving ads related to digital cameras is useful to you. And that's part of our philosophy, which is making sure that the information is always useful. And we see ads as just another piece or another form of information.
If you point your web browser at Google, type in a phrase that can be even remotely interpreted as pertaining to some kind of product or service, and click on the search button, you'll get back a page of search results, but Wojcicki says you'll probably see some other information as well.
At the top above the search results and on the side, usually the background is a different color. That's actually an ad that an advertiser has paid to put their content there, and they pay for every user that clicks on that specific ad.
That's the essence of search advertising. Marketers choose words or phrases that pertain to their businesses. So a flower shop in Brooklyn might choose Brooklyn flowers or Brooklyn roses. Their ads appear when search engine users look for those words or phrases. The advertisers don't pay for their messages merely to appear. Instead, they bid how much they're willing to pay when a search engine user clicks on one of those ads, a dime, a quarter, a dollar. Whichever advertiser bids highest finds his or her ad at the top of the list of those sponsored links, as Google calls them. And advertisers only pay when an internet user expresses an interest in the ad by clicking. Author John Battelle says that represents a revolution in marketing. Instead of advertisers spraying their message across a wide audience, internet advertisers are reaching only those people who've already expressed an intent to find information about a product or service, so there's less wasted ad spending.
People on the internet declare their intent to find the content, and it's at the moment of declaration of that intent that you can attach the advertising.
Battelle says search-based advertising has also attracted ad spending from thousands of small businesses that hadn't been spending much in the past. Consequently, he says, search advertising is the fastest-growing medium of all time. Search firms are on a pace to generate nearly $3 billion in ad revenue this year. The size of that market and its potential for future growth prompted Yahoo to get back into the search business and is likely driving Microsoft to do the same. The growth in advertising is also what's behind the hype surrounding Google's rumored initial public stock offering. Because the firm is still privately held, Google won't comment on its plans or its revenues. Some stock analysts predict that if Google goes public, it could set off another dot-com boom. But analyst Charlene Lee of Forrester Research says would-be investors should check their enthusiasm.
Let's be realistic about it. There is competition in the space. This is not something that they completely dominate. They are definitely a leader, but there are some very strong competitors in the space, too.
The search engine boom has given rise to another group of businesses. They advise advertisers on how to use search engines to drive more traffic to their websites. They're our story for tomorrow. Rick Carr, NPR News.
As a follow-up to Rick's report yesterday on how Google catalogs the web, the internet search engine is defending its decision not to block an anti-Semitic website from its search results. Google officials have disavowed the views expressed by the website JewWatch.com, but say their rankings are automatically determined by complex computer algorithms. The website appears as the first search result when users type the word Jew into Google's search engine. The site claims to keep close watch on Jewish communities and organizations worldwide and includes references to anti-Semitic research, documents, and organizations. In a statement posted at the top of its search page, Google officials say, "We're disturbed about these results as well." But the company defends its site rankings, saying search results are generated objectively and are independent of the beliefs and preferences of those who work at Google. Photographs of Google corporate headquarters are at npr.org.